Hi, friends.
Hello, should I delete that, listeners?
We still have some tickets left for our live tour and we would absolutely love to see you there.
On Thursday, the 23rd of May, we will be performing in the London Islington Assembly Hall.
On Monday, the 27th of May, we will be in Salford.
On Tuesday, the 28th of May, we'll be in Glasgow.
Sunday, the 2nd of June, Birmingham.
Monday, the 3rd of June, Bristol.
And Tuesday, the 4th of June in Southampton.
You can get your tickets at aegpresents.co.uk or via the link in the show notes or our Instagram bios.
We really hope we see you there.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I remember all of us before the first time we'd ever done this in with an audience, and we're just like waiting in darkness in our pants, and all of us like looking at each other going, oh my god, what's about to happen? Like, what is going on?
This week on the podcast,
Magic Mike's own Jake Brewer.
We delve into the life of a male dancer at one of the most iconic, famous shows, Magic Mike.
Jake came to talk to us about the realities of performing in a show like this, engaging with the audience about self-confidence, body image struggles, and his career as a dancer.
We hope you enjoy the episode and also hope to see you at Magic Mike show soon.
Al has agreed to join
Jake.
No, I haven't. On stage.
No, I haven't.
You're going to be
absolutely
so great.
Haven't.
You're going to be a star.
No, bye.
Give the people what they want.
Leave me alone. Bye.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for coming in to talk to us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Can you tell us about your job?
Yes. It's crazy. It's crazy at times. It's great. It's a lot of fun.
Is it?
Yeah, it is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
How did you get into it?
It's fun. I was actually talking about it just now. The weird thing about it, like the fact of just how doors open and a path just kind of happens, and whether it's like fate meant to be in the, like in the stars kind of thing. I was like finding, sounds wanky, but finding dance when I went to secondary school, but I took the last place. I was meant to be going to another secondary school.
Mm.
And I got really upset with my mum. I was like, all my friends are going to the other one, I don't want to go there anymore. And then she rang up and got me the last spot. And that was when I then found dance. So it was just weird how that,
yeah,
that decision of when I was in primary school, what's that, 11, year 6,
mm,
that decision then took me on that track. And then next thing I know, I'm doing like GCSE dance, which is like not on the curriculum, but they're doing it at the school, like after school hours. And then I ended up going to the head teacher saying, I want to do a dance A level. And they went, cool, let's put it on the curriculum. And he went, oh, I was like,
wow,
great.
Like
dance
Billy
A level with other people.
Yeah. Look at you, creating opportunities for all, yeah, the dancers everywhere.
Yeah.
That's great.
And the funny thing is, weird circle of life here, it was really, for me, it was just a hobby. Like, I just liked doing it. My parents supported me. But it was really watching Step Up.
Was it?
Yeah. Was it?
So Channing Tatum in Step Up was when that was kind of like that trigger.
Yeah.
That trigger spot for me of thinking, oh, like, guys actually do this. And
yeah,
that looks great. Like, not thinking of a career in that kind of sense.
Yeah.
I'm still just enjoying it as a hobby, not, yeah, really thinking much of it. So, yeah, and it's just funny how full circle, I've now been hired by the main guy himself.
Yeah, that is funny, isn't it?
Yeah, I sat next to him. We did this because right at the very beginning, when we opened the show, we did like this big photo of all of the car, like the cast had just opened the show, and there's Channing Tatum there, and I sat next to him. I looked at him while we were still waiting. I said, look, I've got to do it. I'm really sorry, but thank you. Like, honestly, I wouldn't be here without you. And he was so nice because he just went, no, thank you. Like, you're the reason why my dream is still, yeah, going. I was like, God, you're so nice.
That is a really cool, that is such a cool full circle moment.
Yeah, it's weird.
If he was like the reason that this suddenly, like this career opened up for you, and then he's like, responsible for. Yeah. That's really cool.
I wish I'd have told him, just like on the cup. I mean, yeah. Imagine how many people tell him that kind of thing. I was like, oh, maybe.
I don't imagine that gets old. No. Annoyingly, I had the same feeling when I watched Step Up and I thought, God, that looks cool.
Yeah. How'd that go, man?
Yeah. Well, pretty well, actually.
I'd transpire.
Yeah, ask me so at like 11 good. PM at a wedding and then I'm like, well, it's my time.
Me spinning, get water on the floor, yeah, me exactly. spinning around and like thinking your moves. So like, yeah.
Such a good film. I'm going to watch that immediately when I go home.
So you watch Step Up.
Yep.
Realise that like this is something that you could actually do, that men do. It's, yeah. it's an actual career. What happened from there?
Well, I just went to performing arts college. I went to a musical theatre college. I didn't get in the first time because I had zero ballet training. They went, go away, right. Get some ballet training under your belt. So I went to Lewisham College for a year and then went back, got in, did 3 years. And then it was just, it kind of was just like a course of just doing jobs and stuff. I was never really, I couldn't really sing. I mean, I can only sing in the shower or the car. Mm. Can't really
sing.
Can't
we all?
The acoustics are just so good. I never really got that far in the musical side of musical theatre side of things. I just doing like little gigs here and there and everything. And I just got the audition kind of come through for Magic Mike. And I went, no, absolutely not. Because of, I never really saw the movies, but then it was like the idea of just being like this massive guy oiled up and stuff. And I was like, I'm not that. And I don't want to be that. And then one of my mates who was actually given the audition as well, just convinced me to go. And we both ended up getting it together.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So if it weren't for him, I wouldn't be in the show.
When you were at school, I think Step Up probably did change the game a little bit in terms of like Channing Tatum made it really cool for men to be really good dancers. Yeah. But it feels like, particularly with us growing up, it felt like, I don't know, all the dancing that I think I saw growing up was women. Really? Mm, maybe like, I think like the boys' music video, or the like, basically Britney Spears' music videos maybe have men in. But otherwise, it kind of felt like something that girls did.
Yeah.
Did you feel like, I don't know, different at school or like...
Oh, yeah.
Did you get a hard time for it?
Yeah.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
That's a shame. Yeah. From boys or from girls?
Yeah, I went to an all-boys school.
Oh, so from boys. Okay. No, that is quite brave, dancing at an all-boys school.
Yeah. It wasn't. I kind of got to a point where I just didn't care what they were saying. There'd always be like the comments, do you know what I mean? But I didn't really care. I didn't let it get to me too much.
Kind of thing.
But it was always there. Not one of the cool kids and stuff like that. But I had my mates, so I had a great time.
So, Magic Mike.
Yes.
When did you start doing it?
For the very, very beginning, 2018.
You've been doing it for a long time
cast,
then.
Yeah.
What was it like when you first started?
Oh,
did
my
it
God,
like live up to what you thought it was going to be?
No, I didn't really know, to be honest, because it was only until I booked the job that I then saw the movie. And I remember watching it. I was in Sweden visiting my uncle and auntie, and my parents were there. I think it was my brother, a couple of my cousins, and we were just sat there watching Magic Mike, the first one.
Good family
and
film.
All of us were like, I mean, it was a great movie for them. I was sitting there going, What am I actually getting myself into? I don't actually know from like watching this movie what's going on.
Right.
I was thinking, oh my God. So then getting into rehearsal and stuff, it was just like a regular dance job. Like, I mean, you learn choreography, you learn all these skills. There's so many different kind of elements to the show. It never really struck me as like, oh my God, what's going on? Like it was just like a dance job. But then all of us got on. I think I actually knew quite a fair wedge of people before starting anyway. So we're all kind of just mates and whatever. So it was just kind of, I know, it was weird. You're just dancing with your mates at the end of the day. But I remember the first show, that was, because there's a part in it, obviously, we're lap dancing. And I remember all of us, before the first time we'd ever done this, with an audience, and we're just like waiting in darkness in our pants, and all of us like looking at each other going, oh my God, what's about to happen? Like, what is going on? And it was like, that was when a lot of us, we still talk about it now, like some of the original people, we still talk about it now, like how scared we actually were in that moment.
I bet.
And then the lights come on, you're like just going into performer mode, but you're like, you hear the music and you're like, I know the assignment.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was really, that was for me the scariest the scariest thing.
Yeah.
Because it is just so interactive.
Well, yeah. Were you worried about that? What the audience was going to be like? Were you worried about that
dynamic?
Not at the time. It was more just like, I'm in my pants.
Right, okay.
I'm literally just about to stand in front of someone in my pants. Yeah. Like, that is quite vulnerable.
Yeah, it's rogue.
I don't know if you could pay me enough.
It's not that much of a shared experience, I'll say.
But just, like, strangers, and I'm just stood in front of this, like, even sometimes as a guy, I'm just stood in front of this guy in my pants, don't know who this person is. I'm like, well, you paid. you paid to come see me, and this is me, kind of thing.
Here I am.
Yeah.
Is it awkward now doing it? Or is it just like, it's work? Or was that first one, is it awkward to do? Was it awkward to do it the first time?
It was awkward because I'd never done it before. Mm-hmm. But over the years now, it's kind of come just second nature. You now know what to do when you can read someone who's necessarily not very... kind of, they're quite reserved. Yeah. So you come over
what
to
them. What do you do with someone who's quite reserved? Yeah.
Well, it's just the politeness thing. Rather than going like straight in.
Yeah.
They can say no. It's not the end of the world if they say no. You do get no's. They're like, no, I'm okay. Because some people just come to see the show to spectate, because it's a show at the end of the day. So people don't really come for the interaction side of things. But sometimes they'll kind of loosen up a little bit throughout the show, and then you realise... oh, they're actually kind of eased into it a little bit more. So then, I don't know, you just kind of like, you ask them, you just like put your hands out, it's just the polite kind of talking without talking sometimes. I find it just like having your hands out, and just if they accept and kind of like give you their hands, then they're like, okay, well, I know that you're okay. But I'm not going to go crazy. Like it's like a guy, sometimes I'll just like, the whole crowd goes crazy because it's just this like one guy in the room or in this section sort of thing, and everyone can see it, and they get, it gets the biggest cheer. I like just standing in front of the guy and just like putting my arms up and be like, look, this is going to happen kind of thing. They're like, let's go kind of thing. So it's a straight guy. And it's just funny, like you grab the hands, put on your butt, and then everyone just goes, wah! And the guy's just like loving it, going, yeah, mate, let's go. It is funny because, I mean, he wouldn't necessarily pay to come like, oh, yeah, I want a lap dance, like as a straight guy kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then it's how the show is. It's really good at setting it up for you to kind of just feel more comfortable. Like, it obviously starts off quite hard hitting. You're like, what the hell's going on? And then it kind of eases into actually like, no, this is like empowering women and stuff like that. So
it's quite interesting. Like, I think like even the topic of consent within a show like this, because when we think of lap dancing traditionally, you think of men going to like sort of strip clubs, not performances. You think of it more as kind of like that, as a kind of, I don't know, an industry, a hobby for the men. I don't know. I guess it's an industry.
Yeah.
But like, there's a kind of like, there's a lot to unpack within that, because it's not about female empowerment in that, in the sort of traditional sense. And there is within it, there's, you know, like empowered sex workers, it's not to undermine that. But the whole conversation is so different, men versus women.
Yeah.
And like it's really interesting hearing that consent's such a big element of ensuring the women's comfort. But I was also interested that you said it's kind of the show kind of leads on female empowerment, and like, how from your side, like, how do you perceive that, and like, what does that kind of like mean to you and to the show?
Well, it's a really huge part of what the show is about. It's allowing women to have their kind of, obviously the history of like how industries of like what you literally just said, like it's the whole strip show kind of thing isn't exactly the most empowering thing. Yeah, it's a huge part, and I think it's coming at a time, obviously change is happening in the world, and it's like all the movements and stuff, it's coming at the right time it needs to come. And it's really pointed, because the amount of people that come to the show and say, I didn't expect that, and I felt so empowered from that, which is just incredible. So people leave like thinking it's one thing, and then leaving like, wow, I didn't know I needed that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's a part in the show as well where we slow dance with people. We're like, after this specific number, we come out to the audience, we had just slow dance with everyone out there, as many we can get round kind of thing, just to like, we just start chatting to them. We just have a little slow dance, chatting to them, see how they are. And the amount of people that we've had over the years that have just said, thank you, I really needed this. Like, even just like us slow dancing them, they're like, I really need it. I was having a really hard time and this is like making my day right now. And like they forget everything that's at like at the door. They just come in, they completely forget everything they're going through. So it's, there's so many things that in the show that you don't really, even when as a performer we started, we had no idea what it was going to do. I mean, for me, I just, it was just a dance job. I didn't know there was going to be so much to allow people to unpack, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's been incredible to have those conversations with people and see what it actually does to people.
Going back to that audience participation, when you very first started, were you concerned that there wasn't going to be the level of respect that it sounds like you know that there is now between the dancers and the audience? Were you worried about that and being, because I guess a normal dance job there wouldn't be audience participation and you wouldn't be in your pants, you know? So were you concerned about that? Or surprised about that there was the level of respect?
See, it's a really hard one because not that I expected it, nor that I was surprised, because you don't think anything of it, if that makes sense. So being in my pants was in front of someone, not really expecting what they're going to do or like know what they're going to do, because if I was in the other way, I wouldn't do certain things, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So I didn't really know, but there are times where people just get a little bit too excited and they may do something, and then I've had it before where someone did, like, I can't remember what, I think they like hit me really hard or like sat my bum really hard, and then I look back at them thinking like, come on, that's not okay. Like, if it was the other way around, like, obviously you can tell in my eyes, like, I didn't say anything, I wasn't like aggressive or anything like that, I just looked at this person. And it was more like she then knew in that moment, she went, I'm so sorry. I don't know what came across me there. I'm really sorry.
I'm mortified for her. I would die.
But it's just those little things. Like, you don't expect that to happen. But it does at times. But there's also like there's these things that happen. Like they get told, look, you can't do that by other people. We don't get involved. But other people say, like, you can't do that. And they go, yeah, you're right. Sorry, I don't know why. I did that kind of thing. It's just, it's very easy to get into like get lost in that kind of energy. Because it's like an excited, like, and you're enjoying yourself. And
also not a very common thing, I suppose, in terms of like, you kind of know the lines of consent in normal day-to-day activity. You kind of know what's appropriate, what's acceptable, but it's kind of like all bets are off. And I think maybe as well, the dynamic is interesting that it's for the first time in a lot of our lives as young women, if you go to a show, it's always the only thing we ever see really is like kind of women in the positions that you don't. Magic Mike did change the game for kind of like it switched the audience around completely. So it does feel a bit like there's no, everyone just gets a bit carried away because they don't know, because it's like a completely new situation. But do you ever feel within that, have you ever had moments where you've just felt like, I guess people have taken it too far, where you're genuinely like, I am uncomfortable.
Yeah, you just remove yourself.
Yeah.
Because some people will do something, you're like, oh, come on, like, what was that for? Like, what was that about?
Yeah.
So just, like, walk away from that situation, because it's some people, it's not for me to, like, sit there and, like, give them a lecture, do you know what I mean? I'm in a show, I'm performing, so it's not for me to even do that, but it's sort of just, like, removing yourself, and they can just get on with their life. I'm just going to take myself away from the situation, because it's not okay, but I'm not going to give them a lesson. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's someone that, we've got people in there who are, it's their sort of jobs, like the front of house, where in that sort of moment, as we're going around lap dancing people, if anything happens, they're the ones there that are like, no, look, you can't do that. They step in for us.
So it's
sort of safe environment. It's a safe environment. But it's never like hard police, like crack down. You know what I mean? It's not like that. It's just making them realize, look, have fun, but you understand that that's not okay. And they're like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I don't know why I did that. You know, that kind of reaction.
That's interesting that they do take it so well, though.
Yeah.
Because you can see it getting swept up in the excitement of it, and being like, I don't really know my boundaries here.
But sometimes you can just see what you can sort of, I mean, after being there for 5 years now, you can sort of see it coming. Like, can sort of just see like pockets of groups.
Yeah.
And you just think, I've got to go to this place, but I know that I've got to be more aware of what's going to happen, like where my positioning is, to just not allow for this to happen.
Yeah.
So then you sort of learn how to deal with it by not letting it even happen.
Yeah.
This is so interesting to hear you speak, because it literally, you sound speaking there, as a woman, it's how women really exist in life, because it's like, you know you're not going to go here because it's asking for this. You know you're not going to wear that because you're asking for this. And it is very interesting that this does feel like a dynamic, and perhaps one of the only dynamics where you're in a really specific situation where you are having to think in a way that I think traditionally men don't really have to think.
Yeah, no, literally.
Yeah. And it's not great. It's interesting that the consent is kind of... Because often you do hear men, and it happens if I ever talk about anything like this online, you do get men in the comments being like, well, it happens the other way around. And you do think, well, fucking barely. Like, I mean, like, it does, but like, really, not on the same scale. But I suppose in this situation, you kind of do experience it again, rarely.
Yeah, to an extent, to the same sort of level.
It's a very specific dynamic. And I wonder, like, how you feel within yourself, like, the rest of the time. Like, are you able to just completely, like, turn it off?
Yeah, you're there just to put a show on. They're enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
So that's the crux of it, really. They're enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
But it's just a really strange... I mean, I'm just stood there in my pants. Like,
yeah, how do you feel about being in your pants? Like, do you ever get, like, body conscious?
There's been times. 100%, yeah. I mean, it's just like, right at the very beginning, this is literally burned into my memory. Like, I stood in front of this woman in my pants.
Yeah.
And she just went, oh no, you're far too skinny for me. And I went, wow.
So
it's like, Jesus, I moved on. I mean, fortunately, I was mind to just like brush that aside.
Yeah.
I know I may not be like the biggest guy. You know what I mean? But like, though. I'm like, wow. I was like, that's rough. And that was like quite early on. And then, I mean, as a group of guys, I feel like we'll like come back and then just like, oh my God, listen to what just happened to me.
Yeah.
And then you kind of like say these things, we talk about it, and then we just laugh it off, or just like, oh, don't worry about it. Or, do you know what I mean? Like
one of those
kind of brush it off kind of chats. And it's, it's burnt in, because it's just funny. Like, you go to like a certain area and it's like where you're meant to go. And you're just like, you just go to a chair, like seeing this woman enjoying herself, and then you're just told that. And I was like, oh.
Well, fuck you.
Great. move on then.
In the middle of a performance as well. Yeah. Where you've got to carry on. You're like, oh, okay, well, that was
But
not
I mean, completely
nice.
Forgot I just carried on. And then, I mean, it's just like thinking about it. There's only times like this where it just like pops back into my mind. This actually happened.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
I guess there's also in that environment and that context as well, people feel like they can comment on your body because that's essentially what we're there for.
We're sort of like taking our tops off. So it's kind of like you are there for how you look, which is obviously like, it's great, but it does draw that kind of... opinion, I guess. Like, oh, they'll just start comparing, oh, I don't like you, I like you, kind of thing.
That's true as well.
And how does that feel within the dark, like within, I know they're mates, but like, how does that feel within?
I mean, fine. And we all know, like, we're all different body shapes and sizes and stuff like that. It's it's not the end of the world. Like, we've obviously got that thing where, like, you want to be bigger and you want to have, like, bigger arms or whatever, like, bigger chest or anything like that. So you would look at someone who has that and you think, oh, I want that. But also, like, you have to be okay with yourself. Like, you can't go through life not being happy with yourself. Yeah. So, and because we're mates, it's very easy to just not take it that way. Does that make sense?
I really like that sort of simplistic.
Do you know, you just took the just words, like, out of my mouth.
I was like, love that.
I know. Because, like, in an ideal world,
that's stuff like that.
How we'd all be.
Because we're all just so supportive of each other. It is great. Like, coming, it's just, we're just a group of mates that go out, we take our tops off, and it's just, I mean, you go to the beach, you take your top off, and you don't think anything of it. It's
bit
just because you've got a spotlight. You know what I mean? You've got, like, lights and whatever make you look good.
Yeah,
I must say, like, there are pictures I see and I go, that looks Photoshop because it's a light that's helped me out there.
Yeah. You should get that in here.
Yeah. But do you, but you must feel, I'm putting words in your mouth, do you feel pressure to look a certain way? Because, I mean, the idea behind Magic Mike, I guess, and the, is that, you know, you all look really ripped and chiseled and, you know, there's, like, barely any fat on your bodies, you know. Does that,
I mean, 10 shows a week would do that.
That must be a lot of pressure.
10 shows a week. Yeah. Is that what you do?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. So, I guess there are some pressures just because we know we have to look a certain way and that's why we've been, I guess, booked for it.
Yeah.
So there is a level of pressure to maintain. But it's never to the point where I don't think it's unhealthy for us.
Yeah.
Because we're fortunate to have a job where there's a lot of climbing, running around, just going all over the place. So it does keep you fit.
Yeah,
so there's an element of, like, I'm actually keeping fit at work.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's not like the pressures of, like, oh, I need to make sure I go to the gym this morning, otherwise I'm not gonna, do you know what I mean?
Do you think the pressure comes from yourselves or the sort of casting element of
No, I think it's just ingrained. Well, actually, I'll take that back. I don't think it's from ourselves. I think it's from ourselves because of other things in the world. Like, obviously, social medias and stuff is not great for us this day and age anyway, and I feel sorry for kids growing up now because of how it's all going. So that, I think that does play in your mind a little bit, but no, you kind of just have to, for me, it's about just being happy with yourself.
Is there any, like, body diversity within the cast? Is there, like,
Yeah. You know, just naturally smaller framed guys, and we're all booked because we are different from each other. We just look.
And I guess to that woman's, you know what I mean? Like, horrible comment, like, it's done probably on the basis that everybody, that there isn't one type of attractiveness.
100%, yeah.
And everybody does have different preferences, I suppose, in terms of if you're putting on a show.
Yeah.
Which is probably why she's literally, like, doing you like a menu.
I know.
Like, no, I don't like that.
Well, I know.
Yeah. It's such an interesting like, first, I can't think of another situation where men are in this position. It just feels so unique.
It is, but it's, I know. It is such a very kind of specific and unique circumstance that kind of would draw out something like that, but it's never that, I don't think it's that deep or that negative. It's that they'll say it, but I mean, we might all say it on an off-cuff comment kind of thing. Like, it's just your preferences, right? We've all got preferences.
Yeah.
But it's just, obviously, she felt comfortable enough to say it, not realising that there's someone on the receiving end of that, like, right in front of that person.
Yeah,
like, you can say that while, like, they're on stage. Like,
yeah,
oh, no,
he's,
you know what I mean? Like, oh, no, I don't like him. You can, like, but because it was right to my face, I was like, wow, that was ballsy.
Savage.
That was ballsy.
Unnecessary.
When I asked why, just explaining why I asked what if there was body diversity in the cast, I mean, like, is it the, does the show dictate that you have to look a certain way? Like, would you be allowed to maybe, you know,
soften?
Soften, that's the word. Yeah.
I mean, it's hard because it's you're contracted. So you're booked on, there are elements of the contract to be like, you are booked as you are, so maintain you kind of thing.
What about,
do you
aging?
Have to maintain? Yeah, well, yeah.
Well,
it's been 6
I mean,
years
it's,
that you're
yeah,
you've been there.
Yeah, I've got
now.
A lot more grays than I did before.
Yeah.
That
well,
hasn't come into scrutiny, has it?
Will that be something that you consider, though, as you go?
Well, no, it's just like, I know, it's just looks. How it's really hard to kind of go in, delve into that, I guess.
If you sorry, I keep pressing. I don't know why I'm pressing. I'm just intrigued. Like, if you were
so
to just
not answering your question very well.
If you just like suddenly put on 2 stone, say,
yeah,
would that go unnoticed and you just be like, you'd be able to carry on as normal, or would it be?
Well, it depends where you put it on.
I mean, at the moment, I'm actually trying to gain weight.
Because... Not because of that woman's comment.
No. That, I mean, that was years ago. Like, no, I want to just get a little bit bigger than I am. That's all it is. But I mean, I'm the one who's going to feel that weight, because is me then carrying around extra weight. Mm. My poor knees at the moment, and my poor lower back.
They're
going to really be taking a brunt.
Yeah, of course. It's probably quite hard to put on weight when you're.
Yeah. That is
10 shows a week as well.
And also, I've got really fast metabolism, which is why I've stayed quite smaller than some. I mean, thank you, Dad, for my genetics, but also it is pretty hard for me to look a certain way as what I want to aspire to look. Not that I want to be like bodybuilder big. Yeah. I just want to. Yeah. I've always wanted to be a bit bigger than I am. Yeah. I think it might be quite like toxic of myself.
Yeah.
Because I am happy, but also there is a desire for me to, like, I want to look a certain, like, a different way, maybe.
Yeah. You touched on before about how you were, like, worried for kids now with social media. I wonder, like, do you think about, not really to do with the show, but just in your line of work, I guess, like, because you will be a role model to young men. Like, what do you think about, like, kind of the trajectory of socials for kids at the moment, for young men, young boys? Because we talk a lot about it in the context of girls, but, like, it seems kind of terrifying.
Even as a guy, I think I'm looking at it even with like the girls' side of things, if that makes sense. I'm thinking more of the girls because of how I'm seeing social media, not that because of for me, but what's on there.
Yeah.
And you think like, oh, the girls want to do this, they want to do that to make them look like this and that kind of thing. And I actually feel really sorry that it's going that way, kind of thing. Like, It's like something being pushed out there that is being branded like natural and attainable, and then people try and do it, and then, yeah, you know, it's people trying to like follow what's kind of current kind of thing, and I do feel it's gonna be rough for kids growing up because you're exposed to it so early on now. Like, I've got my missus' 6 year old niece, she's got a phone. She doesn't use it all the time, but she's got a phone. And at that age, I mean, I didn't have an iPhone. How old was I? I must have been like secondary school when I got an iPhone. Yeah. Like, I had a silly little, like, I had an Ariel, my first phone, I had an Ariel. Like, that's how old that was. It's just so accessible. And it's great, but also it can do some damage. And I just think it's scary. Yeah. It is really scary.
Yeah.
I feel like for men, with the standards, like for boys, like body standards as well, I feel like Love Island was really, I don't know what you think of this as like a guy, but I feel like Love Island was really pivotal in like, in setting body standards for men.
Yeah.
And really, you know, like everyone who went on Love Island, and a lot of the male contestants now have said that before they went on Love Island, they did like steroids and, you know, like crazy crash diets and like,
I guess it's just the exposing nature of it. Like, you're always going to be filmed and you wouldn't even know. Like, for me, it's, I'm obviously being filmed at my place of at the show, so I know, like, that's the kind of, my safe space is outside of the show, where I know I'm like, I don't have to worry about what I look like, really. But because of it being so 24/7 for that show, I guess it kind of creates that worry that, oh my God, like, if I turn off at any point, that picture or video is going to be online forever.
Yeah. So it's actually quite scary. But then, of course, that leaks out into the general male population who are like, oh, that's how I need to look.
Yeah, because you do, I do a lot of running. And I make a lot of like fitness content, and I think because of that, I then get fed the fitness algorithm.
Yeah.
So I've ended up in some weird places. But particularly, like, some of the transformations have been amazing, but I've seen a lot more of like men in this space, and like men either trying to lose a lot of weight. Well, it feels easier, like those transformation videos. It's like, you know, men going from like sort of really big to like getting really ripped, and it's like, that's cool. But what I also see, which seems harder, is like young boys, and really quite young, like at school, showing like before they're, you know, like I saw this guy, I don't really mean in the comments, but and he was like 11 or 12 and he was on his way to school. It was like he vlogged his day to school, but then in the morning he got up at 5 so he could go to the gym, and he's like taking creatine before he could go to the gym. I know. And then he was like
at 11,
I don't know, and he looked young, he didn't like, he wasn't like, didn't look very puberty, and then did like
technical terminology.
Then he went and then he did his full workout, and then he came back and then he had his like protein shake and his porridge, and then he got his school uniform, and I was so shocked at the end when he put his school uniform on. I was like, oh no.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But I feel like it does feel, just on what you were saying before about like you wanting to be bigger, like that feels almost harder for young boys who are growing up seeing this kind of like, and we don't really talk about the beauty ideals for men, but it is like jacked. And so like if you're thinner and you struggle to put on weight and whatever, it's just like, it must be really hard. I guess like that's the kind of worry for young boys.
Oh, poor guy. I know.
Some of the comments were really nice. Some of the comments were like, and all, like all these gym bros being like, proud of you, buddy. Like, this is where it starts. Like, and the community was really nice. And then some of them weren't very nice.
Yeah, but it's the trolling side of life that it's just insane.
Do you get that with the show? Do you get it?
Oh yeah.
Do you?
Yeah. No. It makes me laugh.
Does it?
Because of how, funny that, like, even talking about this, there was a video of me that went on TikTok that it was just me taking off my shirt at this
just
part
at
of the
work.
Show. Yeah, at
just
work.
Just doing my job.
Yeah, right. And it was just some of the comments, but then realising that the comments are from guys the ones that were trolling. Yeah, it was like, needs bigger arms. Or just like comment on like things that I already like have that negative thought about. Not that it like overwhelms me.
But you're aware of it.
I'm aware, like, oh yeah, I want to do it. But also it's to my, like, I need, if I want that, I need to train it. But then I just wasn't doing anything.
Yeah.
But it was just those comments coming in. I was like, wow, Christ. I just kept flicking through and I went, Jesus. They're all like, he's got no arms and he skips his carbs or something like that because I'm just naturally a thinner frame.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's just like the comments and like the jokey comments, it made me laugh because I was like, actually it's that it is quite funny, but also it's damaging
to
the person.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm only saying it's funny because it's me in the video. So yeah. I think I'm able to like laugh at
you
it.
Can take
do you know what I mean?
Right?
I can take it and I'm just like, God's sake, like, what the fuck's going on?
Does it make you not want to do the social side of it?
Not really.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
you don't mind.
No, I mean, they're just keyboard warriors at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Fortunately, it's never been that bad kind of thing. I did have one years ago. It was like, look like you smell when you dress like a twat. And I was like, what the hell? Like, how is...
But then also, it's like... compliment.
But we used to like, even like, every now and again, we talk about it now at work because it was just like those comments. Like, they can be funny if you take it in that way, but you're like, they're doing it for a specific reaction.
Yeah.
So it's, but it's good that for this kid who's going through that, to have those positive comments coming in, that's the main thing. It's
definitely.
It's the support. Why is it so easy to go the wrong way in a comment?
Isn't it?
It's just
easy. We talked about this. Yeah, we were talking about this recently. It's just so, I don't know what it is. We were trying to work out if it's like an innate psychological fault that like
critical, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm kind of like pack mentality. But then it feels quite transparent. Like if men are coming for you, like they're seeing a video of you, like you're objectively like aspirational in terms of like what you're doing. You've got girls there, you look good, like you've won. So they're gonna be triggered. Like,
yeah, I guess.
Feels
it's
easy. Like. That he's going to attack your arms.
Yeah, trying to like pick things out.
Exactly.
Like, oh, don't worry about it.
It's like what he's basically saying is the rest of you is perfection, but your arms, like this is the one thing I could find wrong. And I find that kind of a fun reframe to do in general.
Definitely.
Like when you get a very specific comment, I'm like, well, the rest of me is obviously fucking fine.
Yeah. You can find a flaw there.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's just weird. It's just so hard to be nice for some people. I don't get it. But if we all strive just be kind, like, imagine how great the world if we're just like nice to people.
It would
like
be so nice.
It's not that hard to be nice.
Yeah. I know.
And it goes a long way. Because as well, like smiling is like that whole thing of when you like walk past someone, you just smile at them and they smile back. Like you don't know what that's done to them. You don't know what that's done to you kind of thing. You never know. But then it's no one ever thinks of that. Like, well, I'm gonna smile at a stranger. I mean, we're in London, so it's a bit different. Like, we're all very like, you get on the tube and you're like, kind of thing.
Yeah, head down.
So like, as soon as someone talks to me, I'm like, no, don't talk to me.
I got my coat stuck in the chair this morning of the tube.
Shame on you.
Fucking embarrassing. I was in one of the, certainly right for sitting in a priority seat, to be honest, because when I stood up the chair, it just ate it. And I'm like,
that's your karma.
I know. I'm not a priority. I didn't deserve it. I know that it was an empty fucking train when I got on. And I tried to offer it to a pregnant woman and she ran away. I saw her and I tried to stand up and then she'd gone. So you know what? I deserved it.
I deserved it.
Yeah, fuck me, actually. You're right.
Well, look, thank you so much for coming on.
No, it's been a pleasure. It's been
yeah,
fun.
It's really cool to chat to you. And we have to go see the show.
I know, I haven't been.
That's
great. Like, yeah, you've got to come.
Definitely.
You said two shows a day. Did you do in daytime?
The earliest we do is a 4 o'clock show on Saturday and Sunday.
I was like, we could pop in for a matinee.
But our last show is at 9:30.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah, okay, we're going to come.
Yeah, can we actually?
Yeah.
She's just had a baby, but I feel like this is a good night out.
Very excited. Let's do it.
We'll bring it.
It's a great show. I'm biased, so like I think it's a great show.
Yeah,
I genuinely think it's a great show. It's such a feel good show.
Does it feel kind? You said like nice for kindness. You know, like if we were all kind. Does it feel? Is that it?
Yeah,
because like, you kind of want to emulate the girls' bathroom everywhere you go. You probably haven't been in one, but at night time you go into the girls' bathroom.
I've heard. Yeah, Mrs. Yeah. It's quite a funny like
the trove,
the drunk girls when you're at a nightclub.
That's
and,
what I imagine the Magic Mike audience to be. It's like one big girls' bathroom.
It is very supportive. Like when someone gets picked to go on stage, the whole crowd like cheer and stuff. So it is very supportive.
Sorry, I don't want to go on stage. No, don't pick me.
Two questions. Pick First him. One, can you pick her? Second one, when you go to pick girls, when you go to pick women, people to go on the stage, do you do that just, or can you tell the confident, like, would you ever pick someone that just is like, fuck off, I would rather die?
No. You have to kind of be aware. Again, what I was saying earlier, like, you kind of learn how people are feeling. Mm. And so there's been times where I've got a decision completely wrong and the person was just too drunk.
Oh no.
And it became such a problem because she was like, couldn't control herself. My God, my job right now is so hard.
Oh no.
Like trying to control this person whilst like turning around doing this choreography and like she's having a great time.
Yeah.
But it's just really hard to like work with on the stage.
Yeah.
And you're like, fine. But there are times where if you leave it too late, there's a part of the show where you get someone for part of the show, but it's like one of the last people to get picked. So there's like this process that you get that person been picked for that person been picked for that. You're thinking, but they'd have been a really good option because they're having such a good time.
Yeah.
And then you there's an element of like you're scrambling. The main goal is that you're looking for someone in trousers because obviously you don't want them when the legs go up. Obviously you don't want to expose anything.
Oh shit!
So you're looking at
There's
so many things that you're looking at. You're looking at trousers. Are they having a good time? How are they in this space? Are they enjoying themselves? You'd like running around. There's been times where we come back and you see, like we take it in turn sometimes to like find this person for this number, and the amount of times that each of us have come back and gone, oh my God, that was stressful.
Yeah.
Like, I had four people say no to me and I'm like walking around like running like,
please,
no,
anyone.
Like anyone, please like come and help me right now because I'm like really cutting this fine, like help me. Like someone, and you look at someone who's just like enjoying themselves, you say, do you want to help? Sure, you're in.
Yeah, say no more.
Do you watch Formula One?
Yes.
So you're like Martin doing the grid walk. Like, so he's like, yeah, find someone to talk to. So I'm imagining you except in his pants. Lewis, please.
That Drive to Survive programme has really got me on the
oh, okay.
Got my Formula One. Yeah. Oh my God.
I told you to have that. I told you to watch that for so long before
it's
you did.
So good.
I know, it's so good.
And the drama and like the suspense and stuff. I'm like, oh my God.
The life's just reality TV now. Yeah. I love it. So good.
Yeah, fantastic. Maths is my guilty pleasure.
Is it?
Yeah.
So our producer Daisy has a podcast with her fiancé Daisy called Doing the Maths, and they just talk about the episodes. They do deep dives on them afterwards.
That's hilarious.
Interviews and everything.
I know.
So there
hilarious.
You go if you need more of a fix. Well, this has been great.
We'll see you at the show.
You have to go on the stage. He's going to need the help.
I'm going to be wearing a mini skirt so no one can come near
you.
No.
I'll bring some shorts for her, don't worry. Keep going up.
I'll bring
physio shorts.
If I'm
you
going
go
up,
to physio,
you're going
that's
up.
Fine, but you absolutely okay, know that's fine by me. This isn't about me, this is about you. You deserve a little treat.
Oh, yeah,
you deserve a little treat. Get out there.
No, 100% come to the show. You'll have a great time.
Yeah, yeah, well,
it's a lot of fun.
Should I take that meet up there? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh my
Alex,
god.
You listening? Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That is such a cool idea.
Bring Alex along. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's
he'll be up there with you. Come. Yeah. He'll love it. Yeah, he'll be dragging us. Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Jake.
Thanks.
Should I delete that? Is part of the Acast Creator Network.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.